Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on YouTube and Facebook, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, on Twitter, or X, I should say, at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 28th of September, 2024, and the title of today's show is Dominoes Falling Fast, UK Government Imploding, Deep State Panic. So this week has just been phenomenal. I mean, the speed at which things are being revealed is just off the charts. I'm just absolutely loving it, to be honest. And I'm going to start by just doing a quick rundown of all the things that I've seen happen this week. And then I'll go into detail on as many of them as I have time for during today's show. So buckle up is all I can say. So we've got lots coming out about P. Diddy's arrest and everything that has gone on in his freak-offs, which is pretty horrific, I must say. As far as the Starmer government is concerned, there's loads coming out about his taking of what can only be described as bribes, really, from this Lord Ali, who is a gay Muslim, apparently. He's actually in the House of Lords. We've got the January 6th narrative falling apart with lots of evidence that Pelosi and co. and the January 6th committee did actually put fraudulent material, or should I say untrue material, into the report and omitted a lot of key facts. We've got some evidence, more evidence coming out that Trump is still commander in chief. He's the one meeting with the leaders like Zelensky, even Starmer, for goodness sake. And they're not interested in seeing Kamala Harris, which isn't surprising, really. Other news about Trump is that the New York case against him is falling apart. And Trump is looking like he's reviving his racketeering case against Hillary Clinton. So that'll be interesting. We've got New York arrests and one suicide related to that, to do with corruption. Mayor Adams even has been arrested and charged. We've got several international leaders under threat. Macron, Keir Starmer, who I've already mentioned as the UK Prime Minister, and even Trudeau. That'll be a good one to go, I must say. And in the WEF, this is panic from the deep state. Klaus Schwab some time ago said if Trump wins the election, the New World Order is finished. Kamala is being called out even by the fake news media. Her latest interview, she was accused by New York Times of not providing any answers, really, to the questions she was being asked by the interviewer. And Kamala visiting the border at long last in Arizona was seen to be obviously a photo opportunity, given that she's been the cause of millions of illegal immigrants coming in over the southern border in the last 3.5 years they've been in power. And it was revealed that thousands, hundreds of thousands of those let in are actually criminals, which of course is what Trump has been saying all the time they've been in power, that they've been letting in criminal gangs and so on. So the whole house of cards is falling down, it seems. And as I said when I opened the show, I just think it's glorious to watch. And it's just, you know, biblical, really, how things are playing out now so fast and furious. So I'm going to start by going into the P. Diddy arrest and indictment. And this is really its own house of cards because it's potentially or allegedly implicating Hollywood stars, sports stars, politicians, you name it. There have been so many people attending these P. Diddy parties, which are looking like not only completely degenerate, but also satanic rituals. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this case, and hopefully he won't be Epstein'd, which people are saying it's worse than Epstein, if that's possible, but at least an equivalent to Epstein. And, you know, it makes you wonder whether the Epstein list and tapes will be revealed alongside the P. Diddy tapes, because I think I said last week that he had so many cameras in his residences, just like Epstein did, and the FBI have seized all of these videos that were taken over a period of 15 years. And it's very likely that the same people who are on the P. Diddy tapes were also on Epstein's tapes. So this is absolutely major. And I'm going to start by going back to September 17th, which is when this really all started. Sean Combs, who of course is P. Diddy, indictment unsealed, bail denied, will remain in jail. This was reported by Gateway Pundit. On Monday evening, music mogul Sean P. Diddy Combs was arrested at the Park Hyatt Hotel in New York, as reported by the Gateway Pundit. This morning, that indictment was unsealed in the Southern District of New York. Now, it's interesting because the SDNY is the same force that has the Wiener laptop, which supposedly has the insurance cover folder where supposedly a copy of the Frazzle Drip video is included. And even Sidney Powell was saying that the SDNY detectives who viewed this were absolutely horrified. They were throwing up. They were, and in fact, I think 9 of the detectives actually either committed suicide or were suicided or died after seeing the contents of that laptop. So there's lots of things coming together here, which is really coming to a head. So back to the article. Combs faces 3 charges: racketeering conspiracy, sex trafficking by force, fraud or coercion, and transportation to engage in prostitution. Assistant U.S. Attorney Emily Johnson argued before Magistrate Judge Robin F. Tarnowski that the 3 crimes carry a maximum sentence of life in prison or death. Combs pleaded not guilty. According to coverage from Inner City Press of today's hearing, AUSA Johnson argued that pretrial services deemed Combs should be detained after an interview with the defendant. She claimed Combs set up freak-offs, forcing sex and masturbation of its participants. The events were occasionally filmed. I'm not sure it was occasionally, but there you go. AUSA Johnson cited an event in March 2015 at the Intercontinental Hotel in Los Angeles. During an altercation, a security guard was helping a victim leave one of the freak-offs when she was allegedly assaulted by Combs. Combs then tried to bribe the guard with a handful of cash. The guard refused. Video from the hotel disappeared at the time, and Combs denied the incident. Then in November 2023, the video resurfaced, and at that time, Combs admitted to being involved in the assault. Coombs is also alleged to have tried to contact witnesses who received grand jury subpoenas. One witness claims she was contacted 54 times in one day by Coombs and intermediaries. As a result of the accusations, the resources available to Coombs and the witnesses' fear of retaliation, Coombs was denied bail despite proposing a $50 million bond and will remain in jail in Brooklyn. The indictment alleges that Coombs abused, threatened, and coerced women and others around him to fulfill his sexual desires, protect his reputation, and conceal his conduct. He is accused of manipulating women into performing highly orchestrated performances of sexual activity with male commercial sex workers and orchestrating their flights to his locations for such acts. He maintained the concealment of his operations by controlling the careers of his victims, leveraging financial support for them, and ultimately using intimidation and violence. In one example believed to be referenced above, Coombs kicked, dragged, and threw a vase at a woman as she was trying to leave. When hotel security attempted to intervene, he tried unsuccessfully to bribe them. There is potential for co-conspirators to be named as well. The indictment alleges that members and associates of the Coombs enterprise helped facilitate the freak-offs. This included high-ranking supervisors, security, household staff, personal assistants, and other employees. They were tasked with booking hotels and stocking the rooms with controlled substances, baby oil, lubricant, extra linens, and lighting. They also were tasked with orchestrating the travel of both Coombs and the commercial sex workers. The indictment alleges that controlled substances were used, among other tactics, to keep his victims compliant. Members and associates of his enterprise allegedly kept victims concealed in hiding, sometimes for several days, while they healed from any evidence of physical violence. If a member spoke out, Coombs and his staff would threaten them with acts of violence, which included kidnapping and arson. Coombs has previously faced several lawsuits, including one reported by the Gateway Pundit that was brought by Rodney Lil Rod Jones. The lawsuit alleged numerous sexual acts and parties, picking up women from a strip club in Miami, and named other celebrities, including Cuba Gooding Jr. in the filing. Jones also alleged that Coombs and his son were involved in the cover-up of a shooting incident in a recording studio bathroom in September 2022. Jones's lawsuit alleges Coombs was also responsible for the shooting in the nightclub in New York with rapper Shine, and that his then-girlfriend, J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, carried the gun into the club for him and passed him the gun after he got into an altercation with another individual. The current indictment doesn't reference these events. Ben Fulford's report from Monday, the 23rd, I think it was, also talks about the P. Diddy case. As an introduction, he says there is a crackdown on the global compromise and control blackmail network run by the Jesuits. He's been going into all the history of this earlier in the article. This blackmail network is now being revealed to the Western public through the arrest of the rapper Diddy. As one example of the panic this arrest is causing, the actress Megan Fox tried to delete online posts she made, such as saying, "I was a teenage demon-possessed cannibalistic cheerleader." Who can't relate to that? And he links to a Rumour Mill news article, which actually goes into the way some of these celebrities have been deleting their ex-posts. And it starts with exactly what I've just read to you, the Megan Fox quote. And it's a series of ex-posts. The Patriot Voice: Megan Fox is the latest to join the social media erasure brigade, deleting all of her ex-posts except a handful starting in 2013, as well as totally clearing out her Instagram, unfollowing everyone on both platforms. And another of Patriot Voice's posts: Both Usher and Pink have deleted their entire ex history. Usher with 7,000 tweets, Pink with 4,000 tweets. Both were known to frequent Diddy's infamous freak-off parties, where it's coming out that the participants were all heavily drugged with liquid cocaine / MDMA, pink juice. Going back to Megan Fox, the article says Megan is infamous for saying she and her ex-lover Machine Gun Kelly drink drops of each other's blood in a ritual manner. Given Megan was also attending Diddy's freak-off parties with underage children, putting two and two together, it pairs a clear and very sick picture of the kinds of activities Megan is likely into, like many of her other colleagues in Hollywood. She forced all of her children to be trans. There are also rumours that Megan may not even be a woman to begin with. Most people still cannot comprehend the level of pure evil that has been forced on us by these demons. The House of Cards is tumbling down. The Diddy case could really be the snowball that turns into an avalanche which buries Hollywood and the music industry forever. And the Patriot Voice again. Megan Fox is a self-professed teenage demon-possessed cannibalistic cheerleader. I rest my case. These people are sick and evil. And the article ends by saying Legend and Tegan should be next. Back to Ben Fulford's report, many of these celebrities have already been arrested and have had their property seized. And he references an article by the American Presidency Project, and it quotes Executive Order 13818, blocking the property of persons involved in serious human rights abuse or corruption. And I understand that this has been repeatedly renewed, even when Biden has been in power. It's up for renewal annually, I believe. Ben also links to an ex-post by Ariel, who I follow and who is a great source of information. His handle is Proletario1. And what it's doing is it's giving a list of celebrities who have had property seized and auctioned off. I'm not going to read the list, but if you look for Proletario 1 on X, you'll find his posts. Multiple sources say this is part of a takedown of this blackmail network that will lead directly to Barack Obama, the former controller of the fake Joe Biden. I will be coming back to Ben Fulford's report for some other little tidbits later. But back to Diddy. Mail Online reported on September 24th, Diddy's bodyguard says there are tapes of politicians at freak-offs and claims rapper learned from other music moguls. Sean Diddy Combs' former bodyguard revealed the disgraced rap mogul kept tapes of politicians taking part in his infamous freak-off sessions and claimed his arrest is tied to an alleged corruption scandal currently gripping New York City politics. Gene Deal, a former insider who protected Diddy through the 1990s, told the Art of Dialogue podcast that the producer's indictment could expose high-profile officials and celebrities in the Big Apple. This is all bigger than Diddy, he said, without naming who the alleged tapes are of. He spoke out in the days after Diddy was indicted in New York and charged with racketeering, sex trafficking and transportation to engage in prostitution, as he now faces the prospect of decades behind bars. Deal worked with Diddy through the 1990s and claimed to witness the mogul turn into a monster. The charges against Diddy came 6 months after his mansions in Los Angeles and Miami were raided by federal agents, where officers said they found over 1,000 bottles of baby oil and lubricant allegedly used in the freak-off sessions. The freak-offs would see Diddy ply women with drugs before coercing them into marathon sexual performances with male prostitutes, according to prosecutors. Speculation has fallen on alleged tapes of these sessions. However, prosecutors have not commented on them being filmed. Asked if there are any celebrities on alleged freak-off tapes, Deal responded, "Diddy gave celebrity parties, so what do you think?" Deal said that while the raids specifically targeted Diddy's properties, the arrests were part of something that is bigger than Diddy. He noted that despite allegations of criminal wrongdoing in lawsuits, including one brought by Diddy's ex-girlfriend Cassie Ventura, prosecutors in California did not bring charges. Instead, the charges were brought in New York, which Deal said he believes is linked to a slate of resignations and allegations of corruption among Big Apple officials. People aren't going to tie this together. The bodyguard implied that Diddy himself was victimized early in his career by other powerful music industry figures and said he blames the ones who trained him and taught him the music business for Diddy's alleged crimes. Puff wasn't born a monster, he was made into a monster, he said. He was made into a monster because of what happened to him and because of the things he had to do. To keep it frank, he was doing to other people what was done to him. That's a learned behavior. He claimed they was heavy into the drugs, they was heavy into beating women and doing things at that crazy stage that's going to make him think he can get away with the same things that they was getting away with back then. I'm not going to say allegedly because I saw that for my own self, he added. Deal said Diddy's dramatic high-profile arrest was karma for a lot of the stuff that he did, including one allegation that he led rapper Biggie Smalls to his death. His karma was bound to catch up with him, he continued. So all the things that are going on right now, the learned behavior that he got from these people who was not living spiritually correct, he went and transferred that and did that to people. Deal concluded that Diddy's arrest will go down as one of the greatest tragedies in hip-hop history, alongside the infamous deaths of Tupac and Biggie Smalls. He brought it on himself, Deal said. He knew that he was wrong, and he knew that he learned something that wasn't right. He knew that if something is wrong, you get help, and he didn't choose none of that. And then on the 27th, Gateway Pundit reported Sean Diddy Combs can't wait to testify in explosive federal sex trafficking trial, says lawyer. Hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs is preparing for a high-stakes gamble as he faces federal charges of sex trafficking, racketeering and transportation for the purposes of prostitution. Combs, 54, is ready to take the stand in his own defense, according to his attorney, Mark Agnifilo, in a shocking revelation previewed in the new TMZ documentary, The Downfall of Diddy, The Indictment. The documentary, which delves into the damning allegations against the rap icon, claims that Combs is eager to tell his side of the story, despite the enormous legal risks involved. Agnifilo, while acknowledging the dangerous game his client is playing, insists there's no one better equipped to defend Combs than Combs himself. He's looking forward to it, Agnifilo said. It's a story of love, hurt and heartbreak, and Diddy can't wait to tell it to the jury. But this is no ordinary trial. Combs' decision to testify opens him up to cross-examination by federal prosecutors, who are likely to bring up a long list of salacious and disturbing allegations. According to the unsealed federal indictment, Combs is accused of leading a decade-plus criminal enterprise that facilitated the exploitation and abuse of women. Combs is accused of using threats, intimidation and violence to coerce women into engaging in sexual acts at his infamous freak-off parties. These events allegedly featured commercial sex workers and in some cases, women were transported across state lines for the sole purpose of being sexually exploited. Prosecutors alleged that Combs electronically recorded these encounters and used the footage as blackmail to control his victims, threatening to release it if they did not comply with his demands. Victims of Combs' enterprise, prosecutors say, suffered repeated physical abuse. Allegations include instances of Combs striking, punching, dragging and throwing objects at women. A search of his Miami mansion uncovered a disturbing cache of weapons, which he is accused of using to intimidate and threaten victims and witnesses. I'm going to jump to the end because the rest of the article you've already heard from me. And the last sentence is, people reported that Coombs had been placed on suicide watch. So let's hope it doesn't follow the Epstein story and that he isn't suicided while he's in jail. There are also a few more interesting posts on X about the P. Diddy situation. This is Shadow of Ezra. Newly resurfaced photos reveal accused sex trafficker Sean Diddy Coombs dining off a naked woman at one of his notorious celebrity-filled parties, reminiscent of spirit cooking. The images show Diddy indulging in a chocolate-covered strawberry from the body of a nude woman, surrounded by food as she lay on a table. Taken at her 2004 Miami bash, the party featured a star-studded guest list including Diana Ross, Owen Wilson, Bruce Willis and Will Smith, none of whom seemed disturbed by the provocative scene. It seems the Diddy sex crimes don't only relate to women. There are reports of him involving underage victims. And this is a post on X from Mr. Nobody. This is footage of 40-year-old P. Diddy saying he wants to have a 48-hour sleepover with Justin Bieber, who was only 15 years old at the time. Really disturbing. And it seems that Justin Bieber has actually written songs that detail his experiences. There's another post by Mr. Nobody. Diddy revealed that he and Usher would wake up and wrestle in the mornings when Usher was just 10 years old. Dom Luca posts, wait until everyone finds out how it all leads to Oprah Winfrey. And Shadow of Ezra posts, federal authorities have begun targeting individuals linked to Sean Diddy Coombs' infamous freak-offs as the investigation intensifies and enters a new phase. The government has interviewed more than 50 witnesses and served 300 warrants. Several witnesses who worked with Coombs have been in meetings with federal prosecutors. At least one top executive was labelled his Ghislaine Maxwell in a civil litigation last year. They are very much treating this matter like a mobster case and articulating various roles that different people played in supporting the conspiracy. Expect more names to come out, either as defendants or as witnesses at Coombs' trial. It's interesting that there are other reports about sex trafficking, child sex trafficking, coming out as well. Liz Crokin on X reports Guatemalan prosecutors raided the Save the Children offices in the Central American country looking for evidence of alleged abuse and sex trafficking of migrant children a few days after I exposed their ties to Hillary Clinton, Bill Gates, Bob Iger and Disney and more. And we've heard reports that the child protection services are also involved in child sex trafficking. And, of course, there are 350,000 children missing who cross the border. And it's alleged that they have been picked up by people who have no relation to these children and also put into human trafficking and sex trafficking. So all of this is coming out. And, of course, that executive order will seize the assets of every organization or person involved in this trafficking. So I'm going to move on now to some of the things related to Trump. And I'm going to start with an X post by Julie Donuts. I don't know how many times I have to say this, but Trump never left and the 2020 election is not over. They do not get away with overthrowing the United States government, and just because you don't see it yet or there aren't public arrests does not mean there are none. More to come. Now, one of the things that Ben Fulford says in his reports is that Donald Trump, President Trump, is still commander in chief. Now, I've said many times that the White Hats allowed the Democrats to win the 2020 election, or should I say, steal the 2020 election, because this was the great reveal. And Randy Bryan on X says, from Trump's speech today, the only good thing that did happen with this four-year disaster is that the people will understand when we fix our country, there'll be much more understanding than they would have been if we just went straight ahead and did it. And this, of course, links to many Q posts that said, you can't tell the people, you have to show them. Trump is now going after Pelosi as well. Nick Sauter on X says, breaking, President Trump has just called on Nancy Pelosi to be prosecuted for insider trading. Hell yes. Pelosi and her husband just made millions dumping Visa stock immediately before the DOJ decided to pursue action against them, causing the stock to rank. This happens quite a lot. These aren't coincidences. Lock her up. And this was a news conference given by Trump at New York City. So he's, you know, going out there no holds barred. As I said earlier, it's interesting that Trump is meeting with all these foreign leaders. And Bioclandestine on Substack reports Trump meets with Zelensky and the deep state are terrified. This was published on the 27th. If you were wondering why they are trying to kill Trump, this is why. Trump is about to negotiate an end to the conflict in Ukraine. This means the military-industrial complex lose their cash cow and the CIA lose their offshore proxy. This is why they impeached Trump as soon as he started digging into where the money was going in Ukraine. Trump did not commit any crime. All he did was get too close to finding out what was going on. And now if Trump does win the election and does negotiate an end to conflict and the end the flow of money, as he claims, then the public will see that Trump is the peacekeeper and the Biden regime were the ones who instigated this war. And one of the stipulations Putin will demand in order to come to an agreement will include a full-scale UN Security Council investigation of US bioweapon development in Ukraine. Putin and his military have been demanding it at the UN for years now, and the US veto every attempt. Given RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard have been extremely vocal about this subject, it's very likely if Trump wins that his administration will not only agree with Putin in this regard, but assist him in exposing and resolving this threat to humanity. This is what's at stake. This is why the Dems seeing Trump talking to Zelensky is their worst nightmare. If Ukraine falls, the deep state face extinction. Well, we know they're desperate to get rid of Trump. And Gateway Pundit reported yesterday, informants claim Trump's plane targeted for assassination. 9 surface-to-air missiles smuggled into US. Recent ex-posts have indicated that 9 surface-to-air missiles have entered the US through a New Mexico border point of entry. The Gateway Pundit spoke to Dr. Pete Chambers, a former Army Lieutenant Colonel and Green Beret, who first went public with the story and has devoted years of his life to protecting the southern border. On the evening of September 22nd, he received a report from a confidential informant. The next morning, Chambers said a second informant corroborated this report with a colleague close to Chambers by the name of Basil Baz. As the founder of the Association for the Recovery of Children, ARC, a former CIA Intelligence Special Operations Group paramilitary case officer primarily fights against child sex trafficking at the southern border. According to Chambers, one informant was outside of the United States while the other was within. The informants had received information that 9 surface-to-air missiles had crossed into the United States via a point of entry. Both Chambers and Baz were told specifically that these were MISAG-3 missiles of Persian origin. However, Chambers said, despite their origin, he said it is not necessarily indicative of Iranian involvement until proven otherwise. In fact, one informant asserted it's not them, even though Iran often threatens revenge for the 2020 killing of IRGC-QF Commander Qasem Soleimani that was ordered by then-President Donald Trump. Regardless of the potential for Iranian involvement, Chambers said, there is credible evidence that there are three-man teams of non-Persian origin inside the United States. He also disclosed that a second tranche of information identified former President Donald Trump's airplane as the target. The shoulder-fired missile system is typically used for a low and slow target, like a plane or helicopter taking off or landing, the former Green Beret explained, adding that he cannot understand how nine of the missile systems could make it across the border at a point of entry. I understand what can make it through a point of entry and what cannot, Chambers noted. Yes, things can slip through, but this is not one of those things. Chambers argued, the only way you can get this through is by paying somebody off at a point of entry. Although he is not pointing fingers at Border Patrol or anybody, he said, it either happened this way or there was some kind of diversion. He suspects the involvement of the Sinaloa cartel, which controls much of what comes across the border, and someone on our side. Interestingly, Chambers said some legislators and the intelligence community knew about it. As a result, he said, former President Trump has been briefed extensively on an Iranian threat. Since this might not be the case, he recognized two options. Trump is either being really smart and be playing along, knowing that it's not Iran, but trying to draw the bad guys out, or he could be being misled. All this is information and more was immediately disseminated to the appropriate authorities. More than anything, the Army veteran wants to avert war and know the former president and United States is safe. For this reason, Chambers said he will stay in close contact with Secret Service and other government entities to share any new developments. And there are people on X saying that Trump is surrounded by military white hats. And of course, we know that Trump has body doubles and so on out there in the public eye. So I'm sure he is protected. And just to underscore that, Brian Cates on Rise of the New Media newsletter writes, if they could stop Donald J. Trump, they would have by now. And it is becoming increasingly clear why they can't stop him. This was published yesterday again. And it shows an ex post from Dan Scavino Jr., for he will put his angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91, verse 11. They can't get to Trump because they have to get past the angels that God has placed around him first. Not only is Trump and the MAHAGA, a new acronym there for Make America Healthy Again and Great Again, movement demonstrating that their power to marginalize, destroy, suppress, censor, and destroy the truth is broken, forever broken. That their precious censorship state can't stop what is coming, and their increasingly frustrated attempt to gaslight the country with Kamala fever isn't working. The satanic pedos who rape and eat kids at the top of their hierarchy are having it proven to them that their supposedly all-powerful God of this world isn't that powerful after all. It's like an Elijah versus the priests of Baal situation. 1 Kings 18, verses 20 to 40. God is demonstrating his power by shielding Trump and protecting him as this evil world system has vainly exerted frantic efforts over the past several years to remove him as a threat to themselves. You have to fully realize this. You have to grasp it. Trump was supposed to have been taken out of the picture by now, long ago, heck, years ago. According to the script these evil pricks have been trying to get current events to follow, Trump was to have been reduced to a non-entity by the time of the 2024 election. And it hasn't happened. despite their most careful planning and laid traps and strategies and machinations, he's still here, and he's still advancing. Every day these people wake up and just can't quite believe this is really happening, that they haven't stopped him yet and ended the existential threat he presents to them. When you control the digital space of the horizontal and the vertical, when you can end careers with a snap of a finger, when you can convince the public via endless waves of gaslighting propaganda that up is down and down is up, getting the country to turn on a selected target looks like an easy proposition. But here we are, 9 years after Trump rode down that golden escalator, and it's beginning to induce panic among the Philistines that they can't seem to get this guy to go away, and their efforts to kill him are failing. They're running out of time and they're running out of road, and he's not. He's got all the time in the world, and the road stretches out before him to the horizon. When you rely on a sleeping public to maintain your illusory control over everything, and the public starts waking up, your machine starts breaking down. A machine that hummed along harmoniously for decades, keeping the public in a deep slumber that prevented it from seeing the true situation. The Great Awakening. Nothing can stop it. God wins. Ain't life grand? And he includes a video of the closing performance at the RNC conference, which was Nessun Dorma, which is again what was played at the end of the movie The Sum of All Fears, when all the bad guys were taken out, basically. So I think I shared this several shows ago, and it's really saying that we're going to take you all out. It also looks like Trump is winning against this ridiculous New York City civil fraud trial, which was basically a crime without a victim, so non-crime. And CNC, Coffin and COVID on Substack, who always approaches things with a bit of humour, he reports, in the best story of the week, the New York Times ran an article headlined "Trump's huge civil fraud penalty draws skepticism from appeals court." The headline referred to Trump's inflated real estate case where New York Judge Arthur Engoron soaked Trump for a $500 million fine for overestimating the value of his priceless real estate holdings. You'll recall that wispy-haired Judge Engoron, who probably couldn't estimate the value of a double-wide mobile home, substituted his own judgment of what Trump's totally unique properties like Mar-a-Lago were worth. Was it Trump derangement syndrome that caused Judge Engoron to value Trump's irreplaceable real estate holdings at pennies on the dollar? Who knows? Whichever, Judge Engoron found Trump liable for civil fraud despite there being no fraud victims, despite that all Trump's loans were paid back in full, and despite that the involved banks all testified they didn't rely on Trump's financials anyway. According to the story, during the oral arguments, the five-member panel of appellate judges asked lawyers questions, seeming highly sceptical about Judge Engoron's judicial misadventures. Justice Moulton, who seemed generally unsympathetic to Trump's lawyers, still observed at one point that the immense penalty in this case is troubling. Justice Friedman asked the Attorney General's lawyer to name any other case where the Attorney General had ever sued to upset a private business transaction that was between equally sophisticated partners. Even before the lawyer could answer, Justice Redick queried, and with little to no impact on the public marketplace. At a different point, Justice Higgett interjected, "Sorry, but what's being described sounds an awful lot like a potential commercial dispute by private actors." Toward the end of the hearing, Justice Moulton asked how the Attorney General's office could tether the amount that was assessed by Judge Engoron to the harm that was caused here, where parties left these transactions happy about how things went down. It wouldn't take all five judges to vacate the judgment. Engeren's excessive award could be reversed with a decision by only three of the five justices. Questions appellate judges ask at oral argument aren't always reliable signals, but in many cases they are decent barometers of the way things might be trending. I predict they will send the case back for a drastically reduced award, while there is a chance that they could reverse the judgment altogether, which is what should happen. Given the politics involved, a full reversal seems unlikely. Ben Fulford has some input on what's going on with the election. He says, inside the US, meanwhile, the showdown between the White Hats and the Satanists is being played out in the ongoing so-called presidential election campaign. On this front, a group of 741 deep state traitors in the US government have done us the favour of publicising their names in a public endorsement of the satanic Kamala Harris. So think of this as an arrest list. As Anna Paulina Luna told a Trump rally about Harris, 320,000 children have gone missing under her watch as borders are. Don't tell me you care about women, and do not tell me you care about children. If you think Kamala is POTUS material, you live in a completely separate reality, totally absorbed in the Matrix. Jake Tapper asked Kamala's senior advisor and former Atlanta mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms why Kamala isn't doing more interviews. Her response? She's a very busy person. Now there are allegations she's getting help from the Iranians. Iranian hackers sent sensitive information stolen from the Trump campaign to President Joe Biden's campaign earlier this summer, US investigators said Wednesday. The Iranians have also continued trying to leak non-public Trump campaign material to media organizations since June, the agency said. Here is Trump's response. Wow, just out, the FBI caught Iran spying on my campaign and giving all of the information to the Kamala Harris campaign. Therefore, she and her campaign were illegally spying on me. To be known as the Iran case. Will Kamala resign in disgrace from politics? Will the communist left pick a new candidate to replace her? Okay, call me cynical, but it looks like a Trump response to the demon rat's Russian influence hoax against him. In a sign, Trump is nonetheless gaining the upper hand. While everyone was distracted by the debate, Trump's Executive Order 13848, signed on September 12, 2018, regarding election interference, was extended again on Monday by sleepy, fake-masked Biden. This means whoever is playing the role of Biden is still working with the White Hats. Maybe that is why the demon rats have now decided to make Jill Biden the commander-in-chief. And it's showing where Jill Biden sat in the chair at a cabinet meeting recently. As evidence, the election interference executive order is being taken seriously. A federal judge has ordered the founder of Dominion, the voting machine company, to give deposition evidence under oath to election integrity activists. The takedown of KM compromised leaders is also becoming visible in most Western-controlled countries. In France, the Bureau of the National Assembly has approved the procedure for removing Emmanuel Macron Rothschild from power. The newspaper Le Parisien reported on Tuesday. This comes as Macron's disapproval rating has risen to 75%. In the UK as well, the latest opinion poll reveals that blackmailed paedophile Prime Minister Keir Starmer's approval rating has suffered a huge 45-point drop since July to a net rating of minus 26%. The German government of Olaf Scholz is also deeply unpopular because of a crashing economy. In Canada too, Justin Castrudeau is about to be booted out of power. He is facing a vote of no confidence in Parliament this week without the support of his former NDP allies. The panicking Castrudeau is responding by screaming hysterically for a Ukrainian victory as if that has something to do with Canadian interests. Of course, Kamala is desperately trying to keep a good profile, but she's even being called out by the New York Times for not giving any reasonable answers in her interview. I think it was on MSNBC, but it happened this week. And her campaign in Florida has also been caught out paying people for votes, which is highly illegal. Ryan Fournier on X posts, "The friend I mentioned earlier got a $50 Amazon gift card asking him to vote for Kamala Harris. This is illegal. I had three people reach out saying the same thing. What's going on in Florida?" And in response to that, Jay Cash MAGA Queen replies, "Did it look like this?" and includes the post from Tim Sharp, breaking: Republicans in Florida are randomly receiving Amazon gift cards and being encouraged to vote for Kamala Harris. This is election interference and highly illegal. A gift for you. This is a screenshot of this document. Voting for democracy requires putting country over party. Harris 2024 from Republicans for Common Sense. And to complete today's show, I'm going to just focus on Keir Starmer for the last few minutes. Niall Gardner on X posts, "I doubt Keir Starmer will last more than a few months as UK Prime Minister, and the Labour government certainly won't last 5 years in power. Starmer is sinking fast, is hugely unpopular and has the stench of corruption all around him, as does his woeful cabinet." Matt Kennard posts, and this is all related to what certainly appears to be corruption, "The British taxpayer was billed £21,630 for these trips. Then the CPS destroyed all the records." That's the Crown Prosecution Service. "The public body now claims it doesn't even know what it destroyed. Nothing about this is normal." And it was related to Keir Starmer's 4 trips to Washington. This was back in June last year, actually, so it's not current. Samuel Weeps on X posts, "Would it be terribly naive of me to wonder if the fact a Muslim lord who makes substantial donations to the Labour Party and has huge influence and access to the upper echelons of our government might have something to do with the two-tier policing policy which is now undeniably in place throughout the UK?" And it's not just Starmer. Rush on X posts, "Breaking, the Labour expenses scandal widens. How can the likes of Angela Rayner and Rachel Rees be trusted when they conceal clothing donations as office support? Rees received £7,500 from a donor called Juliet Rosenfeld that was used to pay for clothing but were disingenuously registered as donations to support the Shadow Chancellor's office. She cannot be trusted. They need to be whipped out of office. At least Sunak made his own money, for fuck's sake, and didn't have to put out a begging bowl." And it's a headline from the Financial Times. "Angela Rayner and Rachel Reeves declared clothing donations as office support. UK Deputy Prime Minister and Chancellor drawn into widening gift scandal." Mike D on X posts a thread about this. "The Lord Ali story becomes even more mind-boggling. The MSM has been focusing on his donation of clothes to the Starmers, the money he gave to At B. Phillipson MP for her lavish birthday party, the £1.2 million interest-free loan he gave to Siobhan McDonough, etc., his free access to 10 Downing Street. But what's omitted from the MSM narrative is exactly why Ali has such close links to the Prime Minister's office. A clue is in the money he gave to Sue Gray's son, Liam Conlon, for his election campaign. Conlon is now the MP for Beckenham and Penge. Conlon's selection as an MP was made by an Ali employee, Matthew Folding. Folding was in charge of Labour's candidate selection for this year's election. whose office was Folding working out of while these candidate selections were made? Yes, Lord Waheed Ali's. The selection of Conlon, the controversial Luke Akehurst, Josh Simons MP, a key figure at Labour Together and in Starmer's leadership team, at GS Josen and others were all passed off by Folding and presumably by Lord Ali. The one thing these candidates all had in common was a shared hostility of Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour left. Folding is now the Secretary of the Parliamentary Labour Party, in place to oversee the progress of his appointments at Westminster. Is he still working out of Lord Ali's office? Where is this office? Folding's other interesting link is to the lobbying corporation Portland Communications. Portland Communications was involved in the 2016 parliamentary coup to remove Jeremy Corbyn as leader of the Labour Party. Portland Communications was seriously determined to bring down Corbyn. Also having links to Portland was Lord Ali himself. There can be no doubt that Ali was also instrumental in the Blairites' labour rights war on Corbyn. Portland was also heavily involved in the 2015 Labour leadership contest against Corbyn. Portland's Kevin McKeever supported Andy Burnham, while Portland executive Gregor Poynton, now a Matthew Folding selected MP for Livingston, had backed Leicester Liz Kendall. Lord Ali also sponsored Burnham and Kendall in their leadership bids, donating £26,500 to the pair. It will be interesting to find out who, if any, of the 172 Labour MPs involved in the 2016 coup were also bankrolled by Lord Ali. Did he contribute financially to Owen Smith's leadership bid that same year and the leadership bids of other Blairites such as Angela Eagle? Peter Jeffrey responds, interesting thread, Mike, wheels within wheels. And Van der Wecken posts in response, whatever the reason, once you accept 100k in freebies or a £1.2 million loan or thousands for a birthday party, you are owned. And what happens from there is any bonus afforded to the donor is or appears to be a function of that donation. There's a word for that. What's also come out recently, on top of all the money from Lord Ali for clothes and glasses, not only for Keir Starmer, but also for his wife, including, so it's alleged, her underwear, which is really creepy. He's also had use of Lord Ali's multi-million pound penthouse apartment. And the claim is that it was valued at £20,000 for 3 months' use, so his 16-year-old son could have somewhere quiet to study for his GCSE exams, except that the date that that arrangement started was after the start of the exam. So that's all very questionable too. So it's obvious that the swamp runs deep and wide in the UK as well as in the US and across the world. But the good thing is it's all being revealed. And I've said before that I felt that Starmer was in, like Biden was in the US, to basically red pill the people, because you can't tell them, you must show them. So it seems to be all playing out very nicely as far as I'm concerned. And as I said at the beginning, it just seems to be gaining more and more momentum, so that it really is becoming a D5 avalanche. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. Thank you very much for listening. Just as a reminder, you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. And if you're interested in finding out whatever might be blocking your manifestation abilities, you can go there and take my manifestation assessment. And I'd like to thank Nancy for producing and to Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. You can find him at mysticalwares.com. And so until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.